Happy Tuesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Tuesday, April 14th, 2026. Hope everyone's having a great week. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, are dumb money bulls going to leave smart money bears behind again? Our answer is likely. 2026 is already shaping up to be the fourth consecutive year in which investor consensus overreacted to transitory bearish headlines and failed to get back invested in time to maximize upside capture in the subsequent risk-on market regime. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with the growth cycle. The March NFIB Small Business Optimism Survey data did not support our Paradigm C or productivity boom themes. The data did, however, support our jobless recovery theme. Elsewhere, agentic AI was deployed by 10,000 plus engineers at Citi to redevelop 30 plus years of legacy code in 2 days, supporting our productivity boom theme in the process. Recall that data integrity failures triggered errors and hundreds of millions in regulatory fines, prompting CEO Jane Fraser to commit to this successful remediation effort. In terms of the inflation cycle, the March NFIB Small Business Optimism Survey data and March existing home sales data supported our cooling housing and labor theme. March NFIB Small Business Optimism Survey data also supported our sticky inflation theme alongside the March PBI data. Recall that inflation is by far the most lagging indicator of the business cycle and is unlikely to durably return to the Fed's arbitrary 2% target without a recession or an AI-led productivity boom. We view the latter outcome as likely over the long term. All right, transitioning to the monetary policy cycle, the Senate Banking Committee will convene a confirmation hearing next week for Fed Chair nominee Kevin Warsh, according to the panel's leading Republican, Tim Scott. Scott did not specify timing, though Punchbowl reports the hearing is slated for April 21st, which is a week from today. He indicated the Justice Department is expected to terminate its criminal probe into the Fed's renovation project within weeks, thereby enabling Senator Tom Tillis to support a favorable committee vote on Warsh. President Trump signaled indifference to the nomination timing risk, stating in a February Fox Business interview, "If it happens, it happens. We continue to believe POTUS is setting up Powell to be the fall guy if anything goes awry in the economy prior to the midterm elections." Nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors from the fiscal policy or liquidity cycles. And then finally, with respect to the positioning cycle, Iran is weighing a temporary halt to the Strait of Hormuz shipments to avoid provoking a U.S. blockade and derailing negotiations. This is consistent with our sanguine take on the conflict's resolution and is why the NASDAQ 100 is engaged in its longest reading streak since 2021, i.e. 10 consecutive gains. The U.S. dollar weakened for a seventh consecutive session for the same reasons. Transitioning to our 42 micro dashboard, as always, we wrap up with a question from our community. This one's regarding liquidity. It says, DD, can you explain why the 42 macro view of global liquidity is so different from Michael Howe's view of a declining rate of liquidity, putting a risk-off regime? So, I'll be honest to say I'm not familiar with Michael Howe's latest thoughts on liquidity, but I assume they're as negative as implied by the question. And I apologize to you, Michael, if the question is wrong. So let me just quickly go to our global liquidity model, which we use to nowcast leading indicators of private and public sector liquidity across geographies. According to the 42 macro global liquidity proxy, which is the sum of the major central bank balance sheets across the world, these 10 largest economies in the world, their central bank balance sheets, global broad money supply, as well as global fiat FX reserves, that metric, the sum of that metric dollar figure, is trending higher across the global. It's trending higher in Australia, so we maintain our liquidity proxies at the country level as well. It's trending higher in Brazil. It's trending higher in China, which is the largest pool of liquidity in the world. India, it's trending higher as well, and it's trending higher in the US. So some large major economies where liquidity is continuing to trend higher and on a global basis as well. So if you look at our 42 macro global liquidity model, we can see that it's very clearly a key driver of asset markets. The black line in these charts indicate the 42 macro global liquidity proxy on a year-over-year rate of change basis. The blue line in this chart here on the right shows the global stock market capitalization on a year-over-year rate of change basis. The orange line here in the chart on the left shows Bitcoin on a year-over-year rate of change basis. And as you can see, extremely tight correlation for over a decade here in terms of our liquidity model relative to the global stock market and our liquidity model relative to Bitcoin, with the exception of this very conspicuous divergence that we've observed since the fall of last year. We've talked about why we believe that divergence has developed. and what is likely to cause it to dissipate in our recent Around the Horn, weekly Around the Horn presentation. So I'll leave that for those who want to dig in further. The final thing I'll say is on liquidity twofold. One, it is not enough to just know that liquidity is currently trending higher. You got to forecast it accurately to have an informed outlook for asset markets. And so the chart on the left shows the trailing 10-year correlation of key leading indicators of the year-over-year rate of change of the 42 macro global liquidity proxy. And the chart on the right shows the Z-scores of the latest values of those key leading indicators of the 42 macro global liquidity proxy. And so based on the correlations, which we apply a three-month lead and a six-month lead for these variables relative to their cyclical 3 Z-scores and structural Z-scores, when you run an inverse normal distribution formula on the correlation adjusted Z-scores for these key leading indicators of the global liquidity proxy relative to the Z-score for the global liquidity proxy itself and subtract the residual, we see that the Z-score, the correlation adjusted Z-scores for these variables are actually higher on a net basis than the Z-score, the year-over-year rate of change Z-score for the global liquidity proxy. So by that, we surmise, based on the size of the residual, that it's likely that the global liquidity has a meaningful uptrend over the medium term, because these leading indicators, based on their three-month leading correlations and six-month leading correlations, have all achieved a level from a rate of change perspective that implies that global liquidity needs to catch up to that level in the coming 3 to 6 months. And so that's how we develop our forecast. So, again, that could be wrong, but at the end of the day, I think the reason the markets return to a risk-on market regime is because this is true, alongside the fact that our macro weather model is signaling a tailwind for the growth cycle. It's signaling a tailwind for the monetary policy cycle. It's signaling a tailwind for the fiscal policy cycle, and it's signaling a tailwind for the liquidity cycle. So that's just a whole lot of good news for any bear to have to fight with respect to the medium-term outlook for the economy and asset market. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here presenting our Macro Minute for Tuesday, April 14th, 2026. Everyone have a great day out there. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.